The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. And Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner from the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you? Jesus Barabbas, or Jesus who was called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that he had handed him over, that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with this innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him, and they took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others, cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Famous NFL coach Vince Lombardi once said, "Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. If you can shrug off a loss, you can never be a winner." That's probably a great definition for how we define success as a culture. We have an idea of what it means to be successful. And many of us who are familiar with the story of Jesus would know that some had an expectation for the Messiah to be a political revolutionary of sorts, an expectation of winning that would have included dominating in a way the world defines not just success, but also power. Now, a major aspect of the God that we worship and follow, that we're going to ponder throughout Holy Week, is the vulnerability of Christ. That taking on our human form, Christ humbles himself and empties himself of his power to be in solidarity with us, to be joined to us, and for all of us to be reconciled back to God. Now, Jesus and Barabbas in our gospel lesson are accused of the same crime: sedition, insurrection, and treason. In Luke's gospel, we hear that Barabbas has directly challenged Roman rule. And as far as the Romans are concerned, Jesus being seen as king of the Jews is a threat to Caesar. And in Matthew's gospel, we have Barabbas referred to as Jesus Barabbas. So they have two Jesuses to choose from. Now, some of you might remember when our girls came into our home, they called me Abba, which means father, right? Barabbas means son of the father. So think about it here, what Matthew is saying. You have to choose between Jesus, son of the Father, or Jesus, son of the Father. Very two interesting choices. Which one do you want? Now, my critiques and condemnations of Christian nationalism is by no means new. Perhaps what we understand to be Christian nationalism today is as old as the Passion itself. We define winning by earthly success, by political capital, and worldly dominating power. We are not following the way of Jesus Christ. Do we want that? Or do we want the Jesus who is Son of the Father that shows us obedience even to the point of death, even death on the cross? The one who was in the form of God and emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave? Which one do we want? I mean, who can blame anyone in this world for wanting to choose Jesus Barabbas? But the way of Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Son of God, the Son of the Father that we worship, is inviting us to follow him all the way to the cross. And that way of the cross invites us to a life that is devoted to love and peace, not hate and violence. What looks like losing in this world is victory in Christ. In a week, we'll be singing, "This is the feast of victory for our God." But it won't be because Jesus leads a violent rebellion. But through the cross, we will sing, "For the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign." And throughout the Gospels, there's resistance to the cross. What we're reminded of here at the Passion, it doesn't stop at the cross. As we heard those who are taunting Jesus on the cross say, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Does that question sound very similar formed from the temptations in the wilderness? If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. They're all mocking him. He saved others. He can't save himself. Come down from here. The cross seems to everyone to be a testament to Jesus' failure. Don't be invested in anything he said and taught. Those who thought he was who he said he was are probably looking at it differently as they're pondering his crucifixion. Doesn't seem like he can save himself on that cross at all. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. How uncomfortable are we still with Christ crucified? There are many Christians that prefer only empty crosses. I've even seen images of like the resurrected Christ plastered on the cross. Some might want to avoid the crucified image. Or like an image where Jesus is coming down from the cross, which would be heresy, but it sells, I guess. And like, you know, doves on his hand and things like that. We will often say Christ crucified and risen, but when Paul writes in his letters, he just says, "We preach Christ crucified, period." We want to avoid it. We don't like that part. We want to fast forward to the good part. But Jesus dying on the cross is more than just a prisoner swap. He dies because of our thirst to be gods ourselves. He's put to death because we need a scapegoat. He's put to death for our desire to have political capital that does not liberate but dominates. He's put to death because of our addiction to violence in order to secure power. He's put to death because we want to perpetuate injustice to maintain an oppressive status quo. But the way of the cross shows us how the power of love, forgiveness, and mercy can not only transform lives but the whole world. In our lessons today, we not only see victory in the cross that has an impact on us individually, but a cosmic impact. That when Jesus is exalted, that his name is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In Matthew's gospel, we hear that after Jesus breathed his last on the cross, that the moment where that moment the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, the earth shook, the rocks were split, and the tombs were open. The raising of those who have fallen asleep here may be interpreted as a foreshadowing and a culmination to the hope that we all have as Christians of what it will be like on the last day. But the cross is not just for one nation. It's even beyond all nations. It's the whole cosmos that experiences transformation through the love of Christ on the cross. Jesus does not succumb to the temptations on the cross, and thanks be to God for that. He does not need to prove himself to the standards and ways of this world. And it's when he's hanging lifeless on the cross that it's the centurion soldier that looks up to him and says, "Truly, this man is the Son of God. Truly, this man is the Son of the Father." It's on the cross. When faith gives us the ability to see and receive in realizing that winning isn't everything, but Jesus is everything. To see that culminate for us on the cross, that it would transform our lives and how we live and how we love and serve our neighbor. As we enter Holy Week, Jesus is going to show us the way of God, which is to love and to be loved. And what we receive and what we share gives to all people a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven and the hope that we have in the world to come. May we continue on this journey to the cross. Thanks be to God. Amen.